ahead and move into the second case, State versus Abu Saria. Is that, am I pronouncing that correct?
Yes, sir.
So State versus Abu Saria. You may approach.
Once again, excuse my phone on behalf of Mr. Abu Saria. There's no point to restate the facts in this case because they're very close to the Khalil case. Although Mr. Abu Saria is in a different vehicle, he's stopped by Officer Mayo based on Officer Henkel's direction because there are two rental cars traveling and appear to be traveling the same way. Mr. Abu Saria is cooperative, absolutely cooperative. He gets out of the vehicle. He's again questioned. And everything he's saying is being transmitted via messenger or text back to Officer Henkel. So this is clearly a fishing expedition for criminal information in an attempt to make a criminal case.
Do you have any issue with the stop?
The stop, I cannot challenge the stop.
Okay.
I don't know. I know there's a three-second rule. Do I believe that everybody who violates it is stopped? No. Do I believe this stop had really nothing to do with the three-second rule? Yes. But the question of whether I can challenge the stop, the court, and I try to be as honest as I can with the court, a pretextual stop is okay if, in fact, what happens from that pretextual stop doesn't violate some additional rights of an individual. So while I believe this is clearly a pretextual stop, the only importance that has, in my opinion, is it gives rise to the fact that the information which was being obtained from Mr. Abu Saria without the benefit of Miranda, when he was clearly detained, clearly not free to leave, and clearly the information was solely an attempt to create a fishing expedition to obtain criminal information against both Mr. Abu Saria and Mr. Khalil. So that's the only way I believe the pretextual stop comes into play. And to answer your question, I'm not challenging the three-second rule. I'm challenging that of what occurs after. There was no reason to detain or charge Mr. Abu Saria. The only thing that was found was apparently a couple of joints in his backpack, which Officer Mayo said weren't even an arrestable charge. They would have been a citation and none was issued.
But it was the key fob gets found
in there. And that becomes a very important part of the argument. And that is, if Mr. Khalil, the search of Mr. Khalil's car and the marijuana which was found in the trunk were to be suppressed, then clearly the search of, as it applies to Mr. Abu Saria, it should be suppressed also. The state's argued that he had no reasonable, legitimate interest in privacy in their trunk. I disagree entirely. We don't know who packed the trunk. We don't know who put the stuff in the trunk.
The vehicle's not rented in his name. That fob only works once access is given, right, through the glove compartment? Doesn't the key have to be used in the glove compartment?
No, the key can be used either in the trunk or in the glove compartment. It was the key that actually opens the trunk, but the key also opens the glove compartment and allows the trunk to be opened via the push-button thing in the glove compartment. And Mr. Saria, having the key and having the ability to control who opens the trunk, who opens the glove compartment, and who opens the trunk through the glove compartment, clearly has a reasonable expectation of privacy. By him controlling the key, he's controlling the trunk. So that issue, I believe, and I understand the state's argument, but I believe that taken under these circumstances, it's clear that he had a reasonable expectation of privacy. He was controlling access. He was controlling egress and ingress into that trunk. The question of...
Well, let me ask you this question.
Yeah, sure.
And just give you a hypothetical.
Sure.
If a friend of mine asked me to watch their house, he gives me the key to their house so that I can go feed their cat. Does that give me an expectation of privacy in their house?
Not unless you put something in there and block the door and control the key. Clearly, if you have no reasonable expectation of privacy because you're going to go feed their cats. However, if you are in the house and you lock the door and someone comes in there and takes yourself out, I believe you have a reasonable expectation of privacy by locking the door and staying in the house during that period of time. I don't think that's, while I understand your hypothetical, I think it's different than what we have here, because there's nothing saying he was given this key to watch the trunk. We don't know he had the key, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Oh, your time's not up. I'm sorry. Is it? Or are you wanting to reserve the rest of your time?
Yes, I'm sorry. I do.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very
much. Sorry.
Please, the court. Nathan List, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the athlete in the state of Nebraska. As with Khalil's case, the state maintains that there were no Fourth or Fifth Amendment violations in this case, and the motion to suppress is properly denied. Most of the facts and legal issues in this case overlap with the prior case, so I don't have too much to add to my prior comments, but there are a few points I'd like to briefly reiterate. As far as the Fourth Amendment claims, we maintain that Mr. Abu-Sarid lacks standing to challenge the stop, search, and seizure of Mr. Khalil's vehicle. He did not have dominion or control over Khalil's vehicle or any of its contents based on our view of the record, so we would submit that he had no reasonable expectation of privacy in Khalil's vehicle. The only thing he had was the key fob, which we just discussed and set forth in our brief. We would submit that alone did not provide him any reasonable expectation of privacy in Khalil's vehicle.
Is it your understanding that the key fob, that you can actually use that to open the trunk from the outside, or didn't the deputies testify that you had to unlock it through the glove box?
When you were asking that question, I did recall, it's been a while since I've read this record, I can't recall exactly. I recall something of that nature, that Ronald Bell, once you mentioned that. I can't remember exactly what the testimony was on how the fog worked. Okay. For the sake of argument, in any event, even if this key alone provided some reasonable expectation of privacy, as set forth in the brief, we would submit that he gave up that reasonable expectation of privacy when he presented to the search of the vehicle that he was driving, which is what led to the discovery and use of this key. So either way, we would submit that he lacks standing in this case, at least with respect to Khalil's vehicle. And just briefly, as far as the appellant's argument about the record not showing whether or not he may have put things in that trunk and whether or not he was exercising dominion, we would reiterate that it's the appellant's burden to establish standing. There's no evidence that he put anything inside Mr. Khalil's vehicle. And to the extent it would just be the marijuana itself, 128 pounds of marijuana, an expectation of privacy has to be reasonable. You're not going to be able to tell him a reasonable expectation of privacy on the marijuana, so you're going to have someone else. As far as the Fourth Amendment claims regarding the vehicle that he himself was driving, we maintain that all without merit, the stop was valid. The detention of the owner's stop was supported by consent and reasonable suspicion, and the search itself was consensual, so all the Fourth Amendment claims are without merit. In our view, as far as the Fifth Amendment claims, we would maintain that they're all without merit for the reasons discussed in the prior case, including the statements. He was not in custody at that point, so Miranda advisements are not required. Of course, Miranda statements were all voluntary. And as far as the assertion that all of this was clearly an interrogation and efficient expedition, even if we assume that to be true, that doesn't mean that Miranda comes into play. You have to have a custodial interrogation. There's two components, as well as a custody, at least not during the initial portion of it. So Miranda advisements are not required at that point in time, even if it is efficient expedition. So the Fifth Amendment, there wasn't a Fifth Amendment violation in this case, nor in the prior case, in our view. And we would maintain that the motion to suppress was properly denied in both cases. If there are no further questions, I would ask you to affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you. How much time does the appellant have left? 4:42.
Thank you very much, sir. With respect to the, I believe that there was a key and a key fob, because the key in Mr. Khalil's vehicle did not have either the key to the trunk or the key fob. I believe they were both found within Mr. Soraya's backpack, Abu Soraya's backpack. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I do remember that being what I believe was the testimony and the evidence in this case. It seems to me that it's a somewhat of an unusual stance that the state is taking, that Mr. Abu Soraya, although he was convicted of possessing the items that were in the trunk, had no standing to challenge the search of his items in the trunk because he had no interest in them. Well, that just doesn't make sense logically or legally. That's inconsistent. He had control. He had dominion and control over that trunk. He was the only one that could open it. It wasn't that there were two keys. It wasn't that there were two files. It was him who had absolute and exclusive control over what was in the trunk because he was the only individual at the time of the stop that could access it. Mr. Khalil could not access it without that file and without that key. With respect to the Fifth Amendment, the Fourth Amendment claims, the Fifth Amendment claims, again, case law in this district has said that Moran, well, clearly everyone testified he was detained, he wasn't free to leave, he was in custody. No, he wasn't in handcuffs. No, he hadn't formally been said, told, you're under arrest. However, he was under the complete dominion and control of the police officer, and the police officer's sole purpose was to obtain incriminating information from him, and that being the case, Miranda warnings should have been given, pursuant to the case law here and pursuant to Miranda and the progeny of Miranda. A formal arrest is not what is required prior to Mirandizing an individual. If there are no further questions, I have nothing to say, but I would hope that Your Honors would reverse the findings of the district court on Mr. Abusaraya.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to say this.
Thank you for being here. Thank you both for being here. And we will take this under advisement. The case is submitted, and you are free to leave. Thank you again for being here.